Hi guys, this is Jen Ferrugia and Natasha
Undum, hello.
And we're here for our first session on the Clean Eating Challenge that we are hosting at Right Training. I'm a strength and conditioning coach at Right Training, as well as working at Excel Physical Therapy. And Natasha and I thought we would team up to do this challenge for multiple reasons. I personally recently just finished a Whole 30, which is based off of the program that we're about to do with you guys. And I was really just astounded with the results afterwards of my energy levels, clearer skin, and just being a little more in tune with my body that I felt it was all too good not to share with others.
And I teach yoga here at Right Training. I also teach yoga at a bunch of other studios around town. And I am a certified yoga health coach. And it's based on Ayurveda, which is also associated with yoga. And it's really looking to the rhythms of nature. And I've done many detoxes and cleanses over the years. And I've also done the Whole 30 myself. And as Jen was mentioning, just taking things out of your diet sometimes, and we're going to talk a little bit about this more, but it's not, when you eat something every day, you don't always notice how it really is affecting you and how you really feel. And it's not until you completely remove it and then maybe have it back again that you understand, like, wow, my energy's not as good. My joints are kind of stiff or swollen. Maybe I'm not as energetic or I'm feeling kind of heavy and lethargic in the morning. So those are some of the things that I've experienced on this path.
Okay, so we're going to get started. We're going to start with 6 simple rules because we're about to throw a lot of information at you guys. And there's a few resources that you're going to see over and over between me and Tasha that we're going to use throughout this cleanse. One of my go-tos is Primal Blueprint with Mark Sisson. He's from the East Coast and he is an endurance athlete and has a lot of experience with nutrition. And there's just 6 simple rules that I really liked from his, like that when you feel like you're getting a little crazy and it's overwhelming with information, it's nice to have these staples. So the first one is to eat real food. We're going to encourage you guys to not reach for anything in a box and to grab things that come out of the ground, off trees, and more protein animal sources. The second one is to avoid sugar, grains, corn, unhealthy fats, which we'll go over later, beans and legumes. So this again goes back to what Natasha was just talking about, that we don't know how we feel when we eat the same things over and over. So the only way to do this is to eliminate them for a short period of time. So that's what, if you get overwhelmed with reading labels, you can always just remember, avoid excess sugars, grains, corn, unhealthy fats, beans and legumes. It's nice and simple. Next is align your carb intake with your weight goals and activity levels. We know a lot of you are pretty active, so we're going to encourage that unless you're really trying to lose a lot of weight, to still get carb intakes through sweet potatoes, and things like that, and other starches. So that's a way to kind of know how to line up what your intake for those should be. The fourth one is get 8 hours of sleep every night. We encourage a lot of sleep. Sleep affects a lot of our hunger levels, how we're feeling, energy levels. So if you can try and maintain 8 hours a night while we're doing this, we encourage that. Number 5, get 15 minutes of direct sun exposure every day. Vitamin D is healthy. The sun has a lot of added benefits that we want to soak up. So try and get 15 minutes of direct sun exposure. The 6th one is play. Find time to let go, disconnect, unwind, and have fun each day. This is just as important as sleeping and eating real food. It's good for the soul, and we need to remember to incorporate that as we go through this 30-day stretch.
And why are we doing this? Why did we choose the paleo diet? Well, this is a step-by-step process, and there are different levels that we're all showing up in different places. Some of you may have more experience in this than others. Some of you might be eating a lot of processed food. Others of you might be eating more of a whole food diet. Everyone is also in a different place in terms of how well they listen to their own body. Our body is always communicating to us. Unfortunately, it doesn't use words. It uses sensations, feelings, and sometimes pain. And if we're not listening when it's using some of these subtler points, it has to get louder and louder. And we want to be able to listen to our body when it's talking at the beginning, so we don't have to get to the point of maybe a full-blown experience where it's really uncomfortable. But we also want this to be really educational and fun for you, and we want you to learn about your own body. So it doesn't matter where you're starting at. And just remember that everyone's body reacts differently to food. There isn't one solution that's going to work for everyone. During this month, we're playing with a paleo diet. And the reason we chose a paleo diet was because the focus is on consuming whole, fresh foods. And because of the activity levels that of you guys, the participants, we felt this was going to be an appropriate fit for everyone. It's interesting to observe how it feels for you. When you eat things on a regular basis, it's really hard to determine how they're making you feel because you're just kind of in your day-to-day mode and this is your normal. But when you start to eliminate things, which is part of this process, we're going to reset your body, your tastes, as well as attachments that you have to foods, and give you a clear picture of how your body reacts with the particular food item. So as I mentioned earlier, when you start to reintroduce something into your diet, you might become more aware of how it really affects you. This is also an opportunity to adjust your relationship with food, to overcome cravings, bad habits, which could be emotional, psychological attachments to food, maybe late night snacking, maybe it's the way that you reward yourself. So there's a lot of different attachments with food. Today, most of us eat only a few different species, which can lead to problems. A lot of these are plants, grains, and seeds or processed foods. The world has over 50,000 edible plants, and Native Americans regularly consume about 1,100 species a year. The hunter-gatherers sampled between 3,000 and 5,000 plants in a year. And today, the standard American diet, which is also called the SAD diet, some people eat only 150 different species a year. And that's on the higher end. There's many who only eat between 12 to 20 species. So when we're looking at the foods that we eat, the little the phytonutrients and the minerals, we get them from a diverse amount of plants. And when we're only eating 12 to 20 different species in a year, we're not getting nearly the amount that we really need. And just three of these species, maize or corn, wheat, and rice, provide 60% of the world's food intake. And we're going to talk a little bit more about why it's important to eat a lot of different things, but I just wanted to kind of start with that.
Next, we're going to talk about creating new habits. So often what happens is what we've been talking about is that when we're eating the same things, we don't know how we feel. So a lot of that is habits. Like every morning we might have the same breakfast, and then at 10 o'clock we have our granola bar or a banana. And we get into these habits where we're eating the same things, and kind of what Natasha was just talking about, we're not really getting a lot of diversity compared to what we used to. So when we think about creating new habits, we want to think about plant and animal foods. So instead of reaching for that boxed item, maybe in the morning we have, you know, we try a different green every day at 10 o'clock, or we have a green juice every day. So creating these habits to be just slightly healthier than before, or just incorporating more greens or plants or animal-based things into our diet versus things that are boxed. So next on this is we're going to go into treats, because everyone loves treats. So I must say I do too. So I would have to say that treats, what I've learned in this process, they don't have to be food. Like for me, when I'm having a bad day now, or if I'm overwhelmed and I don't feel good, if I take my 15 minutes to go outside, get a little sun and read in the sun, or I bring my yoga mat outside and I stretch or foam roll or do 10 minutes of yoga and stretches, I find that my whole mental state can absolutely turn around and do a complete 360. So I think we need to start thinking about treats, that they don't always have to be food, that like, oh, I did this, I can reward myself now with a huge bowl of ice cream or something like that. It could be that, hey, we want to go for a walk. I'm going to go to a meditation. I'm going to get a massage today. So maybe instead of every day having that two or three beers at the end of the night, like, you know what? I'm going to save that $15 I spend at the bar every night, and at the end of the week, I'm going to get myself a massage. So thinking of things like that, and just thinking of a treat as a way to improve how you feel mentally and physically versus picking something that's going to add to the waistline while depleting your bank account. So for me, that was huge, because I think I always thought of treats that way. And then when I decided that you know what? I want to feel good. After I did my 30 days, I was like, oh, it's been 30 days. I'm going to have a treat. And when I started indulging in some of these things I hadn't had in 30 days, I found out that I didn't feel so good. Getting nauseous, bloated. And then I really very soonly was incorporating like, you know what? At the end of the night, I'm going to have my tea and I'm going to stretch for 15 minutes before I go to bed. And it makes a world of a difference on how I feel physically and mentally.
Or maybe go to bed early.
Hey, there we go. So next, what that leads us right into, you guys are stuck with me for a few more minutes, is we're going to go into goals. So a lot of this as well is how we're feeling. So how are we going to debate what we're doing as we kind of define what this 30 days is, because we've created a few different levels. As we know, everyone's starting at different places, and we want you to get the most out of this no matter where you're starting. So we need to define what our goals are. So there are some options. You guys are going to get these goal sheets in your email along with this recording. And I've just given you some ideas to start out with. Is, are your goals incorporating healthier lifestyles, eating habits, or creating new eating habits in your daily life? Are you trying to lose weight? Do you want to become more creative with cooking, eating, and offering healthier options for your family? Do you want to learn about nutrition, what we used to eat, how our diet has progressed or regressed, and how that affects our daily lives, mood, energy levels, allergies, and all those things? Or are you on more of a performance road where you want to become more fat adaptive, performance oriented, which I've given you guys a little more info on that if that's your goal. You do want the minimum 21 days of no sugars, grains, or highly refined polyunsaturated oils, and you must restrict carb intake until you hit ideal body composition. But this also goes along with the working out, that you need to work out in a submaximal heart rate in that fat burning zone, which is going to be 180 minus your age. However, with that being said, all that aside, 70% of the body composition is going to be determined by diet. So there's also some information on that. We can go more in depth if that is your goal when we first meet. So I have outlined that you guys can do short-term goals, which are 1 to 3 months. So that's going to include the first 30 days, what you want to get out of that. And then we have long-term goals, which is 6 to 12 months, which might be incorporating those long-term goals and habits, but also just remember to be patient. So this is all new. We're making several changes. So that's why I've outlined up to a year of goals, because this isn't all going to happen in the first 30 days. There is no one answer for everyone, and education and nutrition about yourself are how you're going to learn to kind of navigate the playing field of what agrees best with you, what fuels you, and what gives you the most energy. So this isn't going to be, it's going to be definitely a learning curve, and it's going to take more than 30 days. So just keep that in mind. And don't get down on yourself if you're not getting everything in this first month or 30 days or 2 weeks. And then I've also steps to accomplish long-term goals. So we can do this on our first meeting on June 1st as well if you don't, but I'd like you guys to look at it first, print it out, and write down what are steps to accomplish these things. So over the next 30 days, we can start to implement some of these things. But again, remembering that it's not all going to happen at once. Natasha, do you have anything to add to that?
We're going to be talking about the goals every week too. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But just starting to get this in your mind and starting to figure out why you're here and why you're wanting to do this, that's really important and helpful for those moments when it feels like, oh my gosh, this is too much. Like, I'm overwhelmed. When you have that why in the back of your head, that helps you to continue on the path.
Absolutely. So I'm going to hand you guys over, and we're going to go on what to buy next with Natasha.
All right. So shopping list. We're going to be emailing this to you as well. But one thing to just remember is, as Jen said at the very beginning, we're wanting to eat real food. So preferably not boxed foods, not frozen entrees, things that are already been prepared. We're avoiding sugars, grains, corn, and healthy fats, beans, and legumes. So what can you eat? And another thing to keep in mind is that we're looking to bring in really good healthy food into our body. And that also includes what our food is eating. So if you're eating animal products, meat, fish, or poultry, I'm trying to squish those all together, looking for organic, pasture-raised, or grain grass-finished. If it says all natural on the menu or on the label, that doesn't mean anything, unfortunately. So you're wanting to be really mindful of what you're buying. And some of these meats and fish and poultry are going to be more expensive. So rather than looking at the meat necessarily being as the biggest thing on your plate, you're going to start to load up on more vegetables on your plate as well. But with seafood, it's best if it's wild caught or sustainably fished. Buffalo is a little bit better of choice than beef. Lamb and elk venison are also awesome choices. The best choice is 100% grass-fed and organic. Sometimes that's not going to be possible. So you're looking at what your options are and how you can make the best choice in the moment for what's available. Eggs, organic and pastured, are going to be amazing. Chickens actually eat all kinds of bugs and worms and things out in the grass. That's like part of their diet. And so just having 100% vegetarian feed for chickens, that's not really necessarily their traditional diet. And knowing that when you're shopping at the grocery store, a lot of times these things are raised in big factories. They're trying to mass produce things. So if you have the option of getting things local, that's even better. So even if you're getting your eggs locally, maybe from your neighbor or somebody else who's selling them, that might be a better choice for you than buying them organic in the grocery store. Actually this morning I had one egg from one company and another egg from another company, and I opened them in my frying pan, and the yolks were so different. It was crazy. So it's really interesting to just see how these subtle differences can be. Poultry, obviously, again, the best is pastured and organic. Pork and rabbit are great choices. Pork, maybe not quite as much, but bacon and sausage, again, 100% grass-fed, pastured, and organic. And also be careful, because a lot of times with processed meats and bacon, they'll add sugar, and they'll also add nitrates to preserve it, as well as you might see spices on the label. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this later, but when they're not putting spices on there, they can sneak different things in there, unfortunately. So paying attention. So avoiding, with all of these things, added sugar, MSG, sulfites, carrageenan, nitrates. Vegetables, pretty much almost any type of vegetable is allowed except for corn. And so we have a whole list that we're going to be sending to you. You'll be able to look at that. But filling your plate up with vegetables. And so if you're hungry and you need a snack, sometimes reaching for a bunch of vegetables first, and then if you still need something, you know, you can incorporate other things into your diet. Fruits, apples, all varieties. Again, apples are one of the most heavily sprayed crops with pesticides, so getting those organic is going to be the way to go. I don't know if you've heard of the EWG's website, the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. So that's EWG.org. And they have, they've kind of listed all these different fruits and vegetables based on how much pesticides and chemicals they spray on them. And they have the Dirty Dozen, which is the dozen that they recommend that you definitely buy organic, and the Clean 15, which don't get as much sprayed on them. And so if you, you know, you're on a tight budget, you can definitely like buy those on the Clean 15 that are not. So just being limited on dried fruits, because those tend to have more concentration in the sugars. They also sometimes add oil to them as well as add sugar to them. So looking at your dried fruit. And then nuts and seeds. But try to limit the amount of nuts and seeds. So you don't want to go overboard. It's really easy to like overeat. You know, having like a small handful of nuts or seed is a good portion amount. Natural fats, using avocado, cashews, coconut butter, coconut milk, canned coconut milk, hazelnuts, macadamia nuts, macadamia butter, olives, olive oil, and nut butters, avoiding peanuts. So peanuts tend to contain mold, and peanut butter is really highly processed. And if there's less than 0.5% of trans fats in it, they don't have to list it on the label. So there can be trans fats in there. And then we've got a bunch of other things listed on there as well. So just being really mindful to read your labels. So next, I'm also going to be talking about cleaning out your pantry. Sorry, you guys have to listen to me for a while.
I have one thing I want to add. So Natasha was talking about, I'm just going to give you guys, we're giving you another sheet that's going to be called Quick Facts. And I just wanted to read one of those for you to kind of go back to our Eat Natural Foods. And this is from the Food Babes book. It's a book that I got from Natasha, and it's really great, easy to read, and very informative. And it's going back to just if there's, you know, less than a certain percentage on something, they don't always have to add it on the food label. So this is a quote from the book Food Babe. The Food Babe Way. Today, the FDA allows food manufacturers to do their own testing to determine whether an additive is safe. If the company deems it safe, they go ahead and use it without any input from the agency or the public. This testing is generally performed on animals, where doses are questionable and given in a relatively short time. The whole process screams blatant conflict of interest. So actually, the FDA has never reviewed the safety of more than 3,000 food chemicals. Most companies don't even notify the agency, and there's an estimated 1,000 chemicals that are known only to the companies that use them. So they're using chemicals that only they know about. No one else knows what they're putting in them. And what's even more outrageous is that they can't rely on you can't rely on the ingredient list on labels to help us fully understand what we're eating, because there's more than 5,000 substances, that aren't required to be listed. So when they, like Natasha said, when they just put spices, there could really be anything in there. And then this is a quote from Mark Taylor, the FDA's Deputy Commissioner of Food. We simply do not have the information to vouch for the safety of many of these chemicals. We do not know the volume of particular chemicals that are going into the food supply. So a lot of these additives are things that in certain amounts might lead to other things of aside from just like IBM or skin irritations. It could also be cancer causing, but if you put, you know, 0.2% in it, but if you're eating multiple things with 0.2%, you really don't know how much you're consuming, especially if it's not listed. So I just wanted to put that out there, because I think to me that really stood out, and that's a very kind of powerful little statement. So that's called The Food Babe Way, which is a very great resource, and it's on our resource list as well.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Jen. And I also just wanted to add that not only are these tests done like very short amount of times, maybe like 30 days to 3 months or something, but they also are not testing them as it interacts with these other chemicals that you're getting as well. So we have so many different food chemicals that are being added into our foods, and they're not testing versus accumulation of all of them. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that. So cleaning out your pantry, be thorough. And the reason why we're sending out this call before June 1st is because we were hoping that you're going to get this kind of going so that when you show up on June 1st, you've already started eating that first day. And cleaning out your pantry is going to be really helpful, because if you're having to look at that box of cookies or that candy bar or whatever it is, every single time you open up your drawer or your pantry, it's going to be a lot harder to say no. If you get it out of the house and you're not seeing it, it's a lot easier. So be thorough. Clean out all of your boxed, processed, sugary snacks, treats, pastas, breads, dairy products, milk, yogurt, butter, cheese. You know, we suggest you could give these to a food shelter, maybe give them to friends, family, or your neighbors, although if you really love them, maybe you just throw them away. It's your choice. But look at the labels and start looking at, we're not concerning ourselves quite as much as with the calories and the facts, but definitely looking at the sugar content in it, and then looking what they have listed as the ingredient list. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, I think you covered it all. I think that's pretty good, and I agree. You could either eat those things or, again, give them to a food shelter. So I would do that, because you really, and I'll say when I started it, like I really had to do that. I chose a time when my spouse was not around. He was actually gone for 4 weeks, which was perfect because him and I have very different ideas of diets. So it was nice to do that, to have that clean slate without having things there until you can get into that mind frame and until you can really know how good you feel when you're off of these things, then you get that stronger will of when they're around. You're like, I don't want to put that in my body. Like, one, I don't feel good. It's unnecessary calories. And I feel like, you know, you get your sugar hangover the next day or whatever it is. So until you can really know how those feel, the will to resist is very difficult. So I think Natasha did a great job covering that.
And that leads into committing to the process. You can't force your spouse or even your kids to participate. This is your journey. And if you would like to include your kids on this journey and think that they would, this would be a doable process with them, then include them. But I would definitely have a conversation with them upfront about it. And regardless if you're including them or not, having a conversation and letting them know, like, hey, this is something I'm trying for the next 30 days, and I'd really appreciate your support in it. And I know it's not always going to be easy, but getting them to kind of like be on board with you doing it is going to be better than just like ambushing them with what's going on. And as I said, like, if they don't agree with it, if they don't want to do it, then don't force it. Obviously, if you're creating food for your family, you're going to have to maybe negotiate a few different things. Maybe they're in charge of more stuff on their own. I know that sometimes when I'm doing a cleanse and my husband doesn't want to do it, I say, okay, you're just in charge of your dinner then. I'll make enough for both of us. If you want something else, you're going to have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. So however, just to know that this is for yourself and that it does kind of take time to go through this. And we're going to talk next week or on the first, I'm sorry, about what to expect, but, you want to really show up and do it.
Absolutely. And just to add to that really quickly, you can also do things like, I know for my spouse, when I make eggs now, I don't do any cow dairies or cheeses, but I make the eggs and then he can add the cheese after. Or we do half and half where I'll add stuff that he wants and then I can leave mine out. So same thing as Natasha was saying, that you can always make what you're doing for your family, but if to make it more appealing to them, if you want to add cheese to something, because that always makes it better, or things like that, then there's easy little fixes and ways around things to get them to kind of that way. If you don't want to make multiple meals, if you have to cook for your children, but great. Next,
that doesn't always make it better, though, does it, Jen?
No, it doesn't actually. Personally, I just went back to cow milk and I woke up sick the next day, so it doesn't always make it better. So I would actually suggest sheep or goat dairy, cheese preferably, versus cows, because of all the antibiotics in it. It didn't go over well. So we'll get more into that later. Next we're gonna, oh yes. And then lastly, Natasha has one more thing.
If in doubt, leave it out. It's only 30 days.
That's going to be our motto. When in doubt, leave it out. And you're going to pick that up a lot. You're going to pick up a lot of things. And you know, you just have to get into that mode when you walk into the grocery store. Only things that are not packaged. And it becomes super easy, except for, you know, if you want to get some nuts, or nut butters, but it becomes easy once you realize how much junk is in all of the packaged foods. Okay, next, how is this all going to work? We're going to go over our point system and what we've kind of created again, so you guys can get the most out of this month and make it work for you. So what we're going to do next is we're going to go over our point system, which we're going to email this information to as well, but I'm just going to discuss them briefly. So first, we need to determine your level. And this is, again, going to go back to our personal goals. So for that month, it's important, again, to determine those goals because that's going to determine how the whole month lays out. Once you know your goals, it's going to be easier to pick your level of participation. And again, this is a reminder that nutrition and health develop over time. And what would you specifically like to focus on for the next 30 days? We do have some rules, and that is no switching levels. You must report your decision to us on our first official meeting. You're going to fill out your goal sheet, and along with that, you'll write your level on it. So that'll be June 1st. The winners of each level, we have three levels, will get a prize at the end of the 30 months, or 30 days. Sorry. We're keeping you guys in for the long haul.
Long time.
And our first one is that we found an app. It's called My Paleo Pal app. And we're going to use that as part of the competition. So part of this is that we're going to supply you guys with recipes, but a lot of the fun of this is exploring your health and nutrition, is being creative and coming up with what tastes good, what you think goes good together to inspire other people. So we're giving you recipes, but that's not the end all be all. We really encourage you guys to be creative, think about what might go together if you have some random leftovers and it ends up being the best dish ever, then share it with everyone. So My Paleo Pal allows you to post your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can be friends with other people that are on there. It's kind of works like Instagram where you can see random other things, or it's also for our group to all make an account, follow each other and encourage each other and see what other people are making or doing, that we might be interested in. So you guys are going to get scaled on that and points every day if you don't post. You get points if you do post, that kind of thing. So our first level is the least lenient level. So, this is going to be the one for those who, you know, you have weddings, you have other things going on, or just drinking is part of your everyday. Most lenient. Sorry. We need to switch that. Most lenient level, not less. We still got some tweaks here. So this one, the most lenient, is you get 3 alcoholic beverages per week. You can consume legumes, whole grains, as well as goat and sheep dairy. So this one, along with your meats and vegetables and fish, you're also allowed those things. Level 2, you can have soaked or sprouted legumes, which Natasha's going to go over that. You can have soaked or sprouted whole grains, goat and sheep dairy. The most strict, which is our Whole30 approved list, and that's going to be your best reference for this, is following them on Instagram and using their online website, is the Whole30. So there's no grains, legumes, no alcohol, no sugars, no dairy, no fruit juice, no soy, no MSG, no recreated baked goods or treats, no spices, natural flavor, yeast extract, or protein extract or concentrate, as they can also contain MSG. So we'll go over that. If you're doing the level 3, we're going to kind of wait and see what people show up with, and then we'll kind of help guide you guys along. Because level 2 and level 3 are going to have a little more leniency, where they might be able to have some of those baked goods that are consumed of just like 100% cocoa and dates and nuts, and things that are pretty simple, but things that will not be for level 3s. And how this is going to work is we've developed, I'm not going to go over the whole thing because we're going to send this to you guys and it's a little lengthy, but we've got points. So anything that is approved for level 3, which is our strictest level, is 0 points, because that's basically just eating your meats and your vegetables and fruits. Anything that's approved on the level you are on gives you 0 points. So if you're a level 2 and you're eating sheep and goat dairy, you're not going to get points for that because that's approved for your particular level of participation for this 30 days. So we've broken it down. So with level 1, you have your 3 alcoholic drinks per week. Any drinks over that, you're going to get 15 points added. So we're going to track this. We'll give you guys a spreadsheet to track your points for each week. And this is how we're going to determine the winner at the end, the one with the least amount of points. So it's like golf, points aren't a good thing. So the one with the least amount of points is going to get a prize. But this is how we're going to do it. So we also have like clean desserts for level 1. So those are with no sugar, no gluten. You might get 5 points per treat. So we've broken it down. And then level 3, unfortunately, any alcoholic drink, you'll get 15 points. Grains or legumes, you're going to get pointed for. Fruit juices, peanuts, that kind of thing. So depending on your level of participation, you guys will get points. So just open the document and take a look at it. And again, we'll go over all of this. Just know for the first day, just try and eat clean until you get there. And then if you have any questions or concerns, you can either email us prior starting to that day, or we'll hopefully cover it in that first meeting to get you guys going. And hopefully this all makes sense. And we also will, if you are willing, we're going to send a sheet if you want to. Again, this is up to you and what your goals are for the month. So if you want to do height, weight, and some body measurements for that first day and use BMI, we're going to send you guys a sheet on how to do all of that as well. And again, that's up to you. But in addition to that, I'm going to also send a sheet that's going to be a 1 to 10 scale, because what I noticed the most when I did this cleanse is the outside. So physical appearance, skin conditions, blemishes, bloating, muscle tone, breath, things like that, hair, nails, joint swelling. I noticed a lot of those things changed for me. Brighter skin, didn't feel bloated as much, things like that. So I'm going to send a scale of 1 to 10, and I want you guys to fill this out again pre and post. This one I'd really like you to do, especially if you're doing the BMI and the height and the weight and the measurements, because I found a lot more physical and inside and emotional, psychological kinds of things as well improve over my 30 days. So I really would like, to me, I think that pays more attention, that emotionally I was feeling happier. I had more energy every morning I wake up without an alarm clock, not feeling lethargic. So I really want you guys to kind of see how that works, and kind of stress levels too, how you handle situations differently. If you take things with more ease. And, you know, the little thing that stressed you out last month, is that stressing you out this month? Because you have more energy and you just, you feel better and you look better. Sleep levels, brain function, that kind of thing. So I'll send you guys that sheet as well. And I would really like you to kind of look on that to do that. Because to me, I think there's more, you're going to get more results from that than just the height, weight, BMI statistical, because the BMI doesn't really counter in muscle mass either. So keep that in mind. If your weight doesn't necessarily go down, because you might be getting leaner, and if you're still working out and gaining more muscle tone, that may not always. So I really like to use that as my indicators of success on this. All right, I'm going to hand you guys over to Natasha for some meal planning.
Well, I just wanted to quickly add to, I really agree with what you were saying, but then the way your clothes fit too can make a big difference in how you're feeling. And so for some of you, losing weight might be one of your main goals, but when you wake up and you're feeling kind of lethargic and you're feeling heavy and bloated, you're not going to be as likely to get up and go to the gym. And so, there's more to it. And like the weight loss is sort of like that added benefit more at the end. At least I feel like with looking at my diet and how I eat. And there's a saying in Ayurveda that if diet is incorrect, medicine is of no use. And if diet is correct, medicine is of no need. And, Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, says that all disease begins in the gut, and that the diet and the food that we eat and that we put inside of us really has this huge impact in so many different things. And that, you know, the number one causes of disease in our country right now are preventable and lifestyle based: diabetes, stroke, cancer, all of these things. And so by really looking at your diet and making these changes, hopefully we can live longer and without disease and pain. So
that's a very good addition. I agree with that. And I like that saying. I think that's very good, because I think today we get caught up in that we just need to exercise. And really, like I said before too, like 70% of it comes from diet, and what we're putting in our bodies is a direct reflection of kind of our image, and how we feel. So yeah, I think that's a great way to end that. And I think that's a great quote to go off of and kind of keep in the back of your mind as you're going through this process.
Awesome. So on to meal planning. We're giving you a meal planning worksheet, and that's going to be included. And when you start to have a plan, you're less likely to get distracted in those moments when you walk into the kitchen and you don't know what to do, or the grocery store, or whatever it is. And it takes the decision out of the way when you've already made a ton of decisions all day long. So we have a thing called decision fatigue, and you only have like so much willpower basically in the day. If you're relying on willpower to make this happen, it's not really going to work very well. I'm telling you right now, like having things planned out and prepared and ready for yourself will make a huge difference, because then you don't have to think about it. I mean, the way our society is pretty much set up right now is all about convenience, the grab and go, like what can I get quickly? Like, all of us are overworked and don't have very much time. So the more you can plan things out in advance and prepare, the less likely you are to go into those habits that you may have right now. So use the meal planning worksheet. I know sometimes I resist doing this, but I find when I actually do sit down, I usually like just take some time when I have, you know, maybe 30, 40 minutes or longer, depending on how many different recipes I'm looking for. But I try to keep it simple because I don't really have more time than that most of the time. So just sitting down, like filling that out, writing down on the worksheet, like where you found that recipe so you can find it when you need it. Or maybe if they're on your computer, saving them or bookmarking them to a folder, or saving them into a folder on your computer. Or just if they're in a book, you know, write down the name of the book and the page number so that you're making this really easy for yourself. Make your shopping list as you're looking at the recipe. And then sticking to the list when you go to the grocery store, which keeps you from buying unnecessary and unapproved items, which also saves you money. So I don't know it drives me crazy when I go to the grocery store and they've rearranged everything. I'm always like, why do they do this? Well, the reason why is so that you have to spend more time looking for it. And then hopefully you'll pick up other things along the way. So sticking to your list and making sure that you're not hungry when you're in the grocery store too is also very helpful.
Oh, that's very helpful. I actually have certain grocery stores in town I refuse to go to because of the setup and because of how they are, because I just end up walking around. I'm in there longer, and then same thing, I end up buying more stuff. So those bigger supermarkets, I really struggle. I'm going to say it, Albertsons, I can't go in there. Every time I do, and Smith's, I love going there because it's a little more affordable, but I have to stick to like the meat and the vegetable section. If I go out of that, it's the danger zone. But they have things that are like clear across the store that you need. So sticking to your list is important, because I'm the same way. Like, I literally avoid certain stores and will spend more money because I'm just like, I'm going to buy stuff that I don't need and that I don't want. So after that, we're going to go right into batch tasking. So how do we get this all done? We're doing shopping days. Batch tasking is my favorite day. My prep day, Sundays, is always my prep day. But pick a day that works best for you. So what I do is I'll go shopping on Saturday or Sunday and do everything Natasha just kind of went over after you have it, and then know how long stuff takes and what you need to do. So for me, I know I'll even pre-cut vegetables for snacks. Like, I'll cut up a few, like 2 to 4 peppers or carrots or whatever it is, and put them in individual bags for the week. So you have that convenience of grabbing and going, or pre-cutting vegetables for salads. So when you go to make a salad at night, everything's cut up. You've got the kids running around. You've got stuff to do. Everything's prepped. You just need the 20 minutes to put it together or grill your meats or do whatever you need to do. So what I do is I know what I'm making, kind of go everything Natasha just did. And then on that day, you make stuff out. If you know your meals and stuff for the week, you know what you can prep for what days. So you might know, like on Sundays, you might prep Monday through Wednesday, and then Wednesday re-prep again for the end of the week. So stuff doesn't go bad, or if you have to reshop or do things like that. So having a batch tasking prep day is, you know, it's good to set those 3 to 4 hours aside, because it literally sometimes will take you anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to get everything done. But then the rest of your week is made easy. So look at it as a convenience time saver when you need those quick grab and go things, or when it's in the middle of the week and you don't want to make those decisions. It's all done for you and everything's prepped. So this is a good day to do slow cooker stuff. If you've got stuff you want to make in the slow cooker, if you want to pre-grill meat so you know you have your grilled chicken salad set for Monday through Wednesday, things like that. So kind of think ahead, or at least get all the vegetables and other stuff ready, and then you can grill your meats as you go, or cook them however you want to do them, because those take 15, 20 minutes. So often what I'll do is I'll get all my vegetable and side dishes done for the week, like spaghetti squash. I'll cook spaghetti squash. I'll do a thing of cauliflower rice for the week. And I know that that's all set. So I have my sides and I have my other fresh veggies and fruits. And then I just have to add the proteins to them, the fish, the meat, whatever it might be, whether it's in a burger form or however you want to do it. So, just think things can be easy. Just take that time to prep, and the rest of the week should be pretty smooth sailing. Natasha, do you have anything to add to bask or batch tasking?
Yeah. Another thing that I do often is, when I'm getting ready in the morning, is I'll put something in the oven. So like if I'm roasting a sweet potato or a spaghetti squash or whatever, I just turn the oven on first thing, put it in there, and then finish doing whatever it is I'm doing before it, as I'm getting ready for my day. So then that's done. But using your freezer can be another nice thing too. Like, if you're preparing things a little, like on that one day, maybe you freeze like the dishes later in the week so that they're going to be fine. Or if you're making something, doubling that recipe. Did you mention this?
No, I didn't. But that's,
doubling or tripling things and then freezing it so that you have stuff already made and ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Excellent. So now that brings us out to reaching out to the group when struggling. So as we said, this is something that's over time, and we're human. We make mistakes. We get frustrated. We get agitated, especially when someone's changing our diet and things that we're used to. Something that used to be a constant is now we're upheavaling that, and we're making all these changes. So this is why we're doing this, is also to do this in a group setting. Like Natasha said, willpower is not going to get you through this. It's extremely hard. You need the support, especially if you're in a family setting and you're kind of on your own doing this for yourself. So that's why we also got the Paleo app, and why we're doing these weekly meetings and why we have these recordings. So you can go back through, listen, and know that you're not alone. Know that we've gone through this and we're going through this together, and that it's a process, again, that it's not going to happen overnight, and that we're in this together. So support is huge. So please reach out to us. There's many ways. We can email, we can do the Paleo app. And you can just call us if you have issues or you're struggling and you're like, you know what, I have these cravings. Hey, call someone, go for a 15-minute walk with them. But also most likely it's because someone else is going through the same thing. So you'll have someone that can empathize with you and you guys can talk through it. Natasha, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, there's a lot of research that we are much that change happens much better in a group, that when we are working with other people, like these things are going to stick and that you're going to actually make the changes that you're wanting to. When we try to do things on our own, it can feel really overwhelming. And so having this group, and so, yeah.
So no, that's great. So just know that we're all here for each other, and don't forget. And on those days you get stressed, you know, re-listen to this recording, go over everything, like, use that quick facts reference. This is why we're giving you guys so many resources, because when you read these quick facts, it's just like, oh, why am I going to have to put this in my body? Or like, why do I feel this way? Because we also are going to give you, on Monday, we'll go over kind of what to expect, how to feel. And we'll touch on more of this stuff later on, but just giving this initial kind of mindset that it's okay to reach out to the group and that it is going to suck sometimes and it's not going to be great. So we're all here for each other and we're here to support each other and get through it. And again, it's only 30 days. So when in doubt, leave it out. And know that you have people to call on.
Absolutely. And when we're going to be using the Paleo app, I really recommend that you guys add all of us so you can follow us on there, as well as add each other so that you can see. And that's going to be part of the fun, like the inspiration of what everybody else is doing. But just seeing like, oh, that looks really good. How did you make that?
So Natasha and I have already started posting on ours. So when you guys log on, we haven't been super consistent about it, but you know, we've got a few on there. So we've started posting, so we'll give you our logins. I'm just trying to get mine loaded. So mine, is JMFARRUGIA. And you can post your picture. I think I had one on here. All those kinds of things on there. So we'll get you guys updated on all of this. And Natasha will go over hers.
And mine is Natasha U. So NATASHAU. And yeah, and we'll also, you can make, I believe, can you make comments on them?
Yeah, you can make comments. You can like things. And you get different points too. So the neat thing about this actually is when you go on it, I don't know what happened to mine. Okay, so you can track your day. You can do your breakfast, lunch, snacks, exercise, other things, take pictures of them. And then what happens is they'll approve you for certain, like how many days in a row. Like if you put that I'm doing paleo approved, or you pick kind of, they'll give you different options of what you can pick for what you're trying to approve your meal for. So say you're doing the Whole 30 and you Whole 30 approve it, they'll let you know if it's Whole 30 approved. So just write kind of ingredients or this is what I did. And then they'll give you like, hey, you've got 10 days of approved meals 3 times a day that are Whole 30. So for you, it's like, well, if I've already done like a week, like this is great. So it's nice. It's good encouragement. And it just shows you that other people are doing the same thing. So you can just follow us. You can have other followers, and you can see what other people are posting. But I think for the group to do it, it's going to be good because it's going to inspire people. It's going to motivate you. And it's just going to show that, again, that we're in this together. You're not alone, and that you do have people that you're surrounded by others who are all in the same boat.
Yeah. We're also going to be sending out recipes to you guys. So you'll have some recipes, and on the resource list as well, there's going to be ideas of where to go find things. So there's so much out there right now. I know, like at first it's like, what am I going to do without my grains? And, but there are a ton of options out there. So we're hoping that you'll get your cabinets, our pantry all cleaned out, and start eating on the 1st of June so that when you show up,
important.
When you show up for that first live in-person meeting, you'll have been experienced one day, day one.
Yay. Woo. Woo! Yeah, so we encourage you guys to kind of get all that going and start that day one, and we'll go over questions, and we've got some good stuff for you Wednesday. Natasha, unfortunately, cannot be there on Wednesday. So she will not be there for our first meeting, but she'll be there in spirit. As her and I really prepared a lot of good stuff for you guys. So, and she will, a lot of those recipes are hers as well. So she'll still be there in spirit. And we're going to go over some new stuff on Wednesday, but bring any questions. Remember to print out your sheets. Remember, most importantly, to go over your goals and really take time to think about what you want to get out of this. And again, a huge reminder, I know we say this a million times, but like it's a process. So, you know, if you want to commit to the full level three, the strictest form, go for it. But if you don't think that's ideal, then start at level two. That's why we've created this, so you guys can get the most out of it at what level you're willing to make these changes. And if you want to start at level three, you know, that's why it's there, to make these slow implementations of changes, because if we change everything at once, sometimes it can be a bit of a whirlwind. So again, it's your body, and we want you guys to just learn and experience some good things.
Yeah, really it's about learning about your own body, and we're just helping to kind of give you some suggestions and ideas with it. But
Well, thank you for listening into our first call. And again, if you guys have any questions, please email us, or we'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye. Thanks so much.
Bye, guys.